another episode of the Touch Points podcast put on by East Point Bible Church. This is the final episode in a seven-point series titled Right Answers for Wrong Ideas. The aim of this series is to provide biblical direction and wisdom for where to go and how to answer those who disagree with the truth of God's Word. In this episode, we will focus on the biblical response to those who profess to be followers of Christ, but in belief and or lifestyle contradict their confession in foundational ways. We are surrounded by nominal Christians, that is, those who claim Christian association or association with Christ, but have an absence of belief or a contradiction of practice to the way of Christ. Because of our historical Christian influence and remaining present-day popularity of associating being American with being a Christian, people all around us profess the title of those who follow Christ without following Christ at all. And so, how do you talk to these people about the gospel and what it means to follow Jesus when they are falsely convinced that they believe what is important and do what they think is expected of a Christian already? The superficial Christian is a difficult group to talk to because they are already convinced that they know and follow the truth, that nothing in their lifestyle needs to change, that the way they are, the way they believe, is already acceptable to be a Christian, which means that any questioning or correction from our part is usually viewed as personal judgment or unloving. Discussing the truth with those who are convinced they know the truth demands a mindset aware of the spiritual condition of the superficial Christian and the pathway of truth one needs to focus on. In simpler words, we need to know what to expect and where to go when talking with those who profess to know Christ but do not really know Him. When you have a relationship with someone who professes to be a Christian but does not believe in the specific foundational truth of God's Word or behaves inappropriately according to the words of Christ without repentance, most likely some glaring areas of contradiction will appear that you should address first in your conversation. For instance, say someone you know professes to be a Christian but identifies or embraces homosexual lifestyle. That area of contradiction provides an open door of opportunity for the truth to go through. That should be an area of focus because that's the most glaring and obvious avenue of contradiction between their life or their belief and the values in the truth of God's Word. Or, for example, consider a coworker that claims to be a Christian but habitually jokes inappropriately, uses unwholesome language publicly, and incessantly speaks badly of others. Their speech and conduct are the primary focus that you should take to initiate the conversation about their salvation, because God's words clearly states the way a Christian should behave and speak, especially towards others. And so address the salvation of those who profess to know Christ through obvious shortcomings of their belief or lifestyle up against God's word. That's the critical point. And again, that key point is that these conversations must come back to God's word. Otherwise, it is merely your thoughts against theirs, not their truth going against the truth of God. An important biblical reality that we need to keep in mind that was taught by Jesus is that people will be falsely convinced that they know and follow Jesus and will not recognize this until it is too late. Consider Matthew 7:21-23, which says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Be sure to share this verse, or there are other verses like it, in your conversation with those who are superficial Christians. This verse challenges all of those who profess to follow Christ, or at least it should, to take a serious look at the way we truly believe and how we truly live. It is possible for an individual to be deceived on our standing before Christ. Notice in the text, the key trait Christ highlights about those who do not know him is that they practice lawlessness. This describes a habitual lifestyle of breaking God's law, which is frequently the most obvious warning sign of a disingenuous, superficial Christian. Because lifestyle is one of the most convincing and compelling evidences of a genuinely knowing and following Christ, see James 2, 14 through 16, we should all examine ourselves to see if we are truly of the faith. Consider 2 Corinthians 13, 5, which says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, and unless indeed you fail the test? Typically, in these conversations, when you first begin to probe and gently confront a person about their claim to be a follower of Christ, at some point the person will probably ask, why are you worried about me following Jesus? Or something similar to that. Either inconspicuously or conspicuously, the person is voicing disapproval, but also questioning why you would care enough or prioritize it to bring up the legitimacy of their walk with Christ. So be ready to give an answer to why you are speaking out about the legitimacy of their walk with Christ. Be sure to know that, or remind them that you're not pretending or assuming the role of determining their salvation. That's a role that only God can fulfill. But what you are doing is a biblical practice. Consider these three passages. James 5, 19 through 20 says this, my brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And listen to Jude 22 through 23. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on have mercy with on some with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. And finally, listen to Proverbs 24:11. Deliver those who are being taken away from death, and those who are staggering to slaughter, oh, hold them back. What do we gather from these passages? We see an aspect of the calling to live in the example of Christ, and that aspect is to appeal and go after those who both knowingly and unknowingly are headed for spiritual death, who are either conscientious of their destiny because of the conviction of sin, or out of ignorance or a suppression of the truth, are confused or blind to their true spiritual condition. Christians appeal to those people out of mercy and compassion. Unlike the judgment and hatred that is often assumed to be our motivation, we confront people about their walk with Christ. We confront motivated by compassion. At least we should be. This motivation we should be sure to make known, and its biblical basis in our conversations, that we're following in the footsteps and the directive of Christ. When talking with someone about the legitimacy of their faith, two key areas should be the focus of what we say: what they believe and or what they do. If a person professes to be a Christian but does not believe the doctrine of Scripture, then their focus, or the focus of your conversation and preparation, should be covering the essential truth required for someone to know Christ. Knowing passages about the key doctrines of Orthodox Christianity are critical in this conversation. And so if you have someone that you know that professes to be a Christian, but they don't believe in the essential, foundational, Orthodox truth required to be a follower of Christ to be saved, you, as the witness, need to be prepared with the knowledge of God's word to confront them gently and to show them the truth from God's word. The key is showing it from God's word, not voicing necessarily your opinion, not voicing your thoughts or your interpretations on something, but being able to clearly appeal to God's word and to explain it faithfully according to the text with clarity so that it pits their false interpretation or false view versus that of God's. That is the key, is knowing those passages and being able to communicate them effectively and clearly. Now, say the person professes the truth, but lives a lifestyle contradictory to the truth. If that's the case, then focus on the biblical lifestyle that should organically flow from knowing and believing the truth. Passages that discuss the necessity of good works as fruit of authentic salvation, like Ephesians 2:10, James 2:14 through 26, or Matthew 7:21 through 27. Or other passages that detail the expected Christian ethics, so the fruit of knowing Christ and having a renewed mind and a transformed heart because of Christ, like Romans 12, Ephesians 4, etc. Those are all important passages to be able to turn to when gently correcting someone on that front of ethics and behavior. A hearted or a wholehearted transformed person that has been renewed by Christ produces transformed behavior. If you have been wholly transformed by Christ, it should produce transformed behavior according to Christ's standard. But be careful. Be sure not to wrongly give the impression that perfection is required to follow Jesus or should immediately follow being saved. Christ's perfect standard, his holiness, is the goal, as we see in passages like Philippians 3. But sanctification is a process. It's the planting of the seed in justification, in salvation, that grows, that develops into looking like Christ. And so be sure to explain that well to not cause any confusion, to not cause any doubt, or to not sow any wrong interpretations of Scripture. Be precise in the way you describe a sanctification and holiness. Now a final exhortation on this subject. It is better to be bold and talk about someone's salvation than to be cowardly and assume that it's genuine. Our fear can discourage us from acting out in loving obedience. Remember the high stakes of salvation. And remember that it is our calling as believers to show mercy on those who are perishing and on those who are stumbling towards death. The stakes are real. The consequences are high. So as we close, let's reflect on one final verse. Matthew 7:13 through 14 says this: "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Our responsibility as followers of Christ is not to be the force that moves people from the wide, broad road to the narrow road. That's God's responsibility and choice. Our job as Christians is to be heralds proclaiming the narrow way to those who are on the broad path, including proclaiming it to those who think they are on the narrow way, but in reality are on the broad path. So be faithful to proclaim, knowing that it is God's responsibility and choice to change and to move the heart to go from the broad way to the narrow way of authentically following Christ. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Touch Points podcast put on by East Point Bible Church. We hope you will continue to tune in for more biblically sound content. Thank you, and God bless.